Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to the program on this Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us on 1170 AM in Sydney and wherever you're tuning in on the SEN app. Our Sydney listening area weather today, sunny, a top of 21 degrees. There's been a bit of rain around in Adelaide. Get to that shortly. I've got four tickets to give away to the Gabs Beer Festival starting this Friday at Darling Harbour at the International Convention Centre and a $50 gift card this morning. But you have to be the best caller of the day on 1300 01 1170. You can get your tickets at gabsfestival.com or you can just pick up the phone, give us a call this morning, and I've got four tickets waiting for you. One sleep away from State of Origin 1. Is it just me, folks? And I'm happy to discuss this on the open line. Is it just me or has this been a weird build-up to the State of Origin series and a weird build-up to game one in particular? I mean, we had the Latrell bombshell yesterday. In between that, we've been discussing whether or not the jersey's too dark from the New South Wales point of view, whether or not they should be playing in Adelaide, how the NRL's got the marketing wrong on this one. And meanwhile, it's been eerily quiet on the Queensland front. Nobody's gone to hospital. Nobody's had the flu. Nobody's had a case of the runs. You know what? And now the Origin focus is on Nathan Cleary's wisdom tooth. This is a strange build-up to game one of State of Origin 2023. Of course, it'll all unfold tomorrow, and I don't think we'll be talking about, well, perhaps hardly any of those issues. The Latrell one, yes, that will have an impact. The jersey colour, no. The venue, well, that's starting to come into play. And interesting to hear Brandy this morning talking about the weather down there at the Adelaide Oval, because regardless of whether it was going to be raining or not, it was more than likely going to lend itself to a bit of wet weather style football. A slippery surface, it's a beautiful ground, it really is. But it will be a slippery surface anyway. And now with a bit of rain on top, well, perhaps the venue's starting to come into play. It's a neutral venue when we look at New South Wales and Queensland, but who does a wet weather style of game start to favour, in your opinion? So what will we be talking about on Thursday morning? I don't think it's going to be Nathan Cleary's tooth. I don't think it's going to be the Blues jersey colour. It may be a bit of Latrell not being there, and it may be a little bit of the venue. And perhaps something, anything, is going to come out of the Queensland camp in the next 24 hours. Heaven help us if it does, because it's been eerily quiet. Of course, the big news, well, it broke yesterday while we were on air with the roundup with Matty Johns. He got the same information that we were getting here in the studio, that Latrell is out. So the ramifications of this, well, Stephen Crichton, as we know, comes in. Matt Burton comes into the squad as well. And the Penrith connection in the New South Wales team gets strengthened. But what do they miss? In particular from not having Latrell there, an intimidating superstar. No doubt about it. Here's Brandy this morning on breakfast regarding Latrell.
They've been putting on some plays coming into the try line. It was the last run of the night and Latrell got close to the try line, and just as he stopped, just pulled up and I just saw him wince, and I was standing behind the dead ball line. I saw his face immediately and I thought, oh, that doesn't look good. And I'm thinking, just be some little twinge, or, you know, not even anything to do with a muscle, like a hamstring or a calf. Immediately put his hand up. The trainers went over to him. He walked off the field, which there was a lot of media there, but they really didn't grab on to what had happened. And because Latrell then did media after it, but I could see by the look on his face that he was very concerned about what had happened.
An absolute body blow for New South Wales, no doubt about it. What do the Queenslanders think of this? Well, we'll catch up with Andrew McCulloch a little bit later on in the program a man who played four State of Origins in the end, a whole stack of games. His close mate Ben Hunt was fronted on the Latrell injury situation yesterday.
Well, I don't think anything changes for us. Obviously, it's probably a big loss for them, but they've got other plenty of players that are going to come in and do a job for them. So our focus has always been on what we can do, so not much changes. Oh, yeah, definitely. He definitely brought a lot of strike to their left edge, and yeah, it's no secret what Latrell can do. So, yeah, it takes a little bit of star power out of him. Val's a pretty classy player himself. He's a really good defender, and yeah, we had faith in him to defend whatever centre's on his edge.
Yeah, I don't think that's any surprise the way that Benny Hunt has played that one. He's been around a long time, and there's no point trying to dwell on what's happening on the other side. So a bit of a straight bat there, but it does pose the question, who's New South Wales' X-factor now? You go back to the 2021 Origin series, Latrell, 4 tries, 4 goals, 2 try assists, 3 line breaks, and he averaged 150 metres with the ball. So an incredible out, there's no doubt about it. But who is the game-breaker now? If Latrell was going to be, front and centre in that department, and there's game-breakers all over the shop, but who is that X-factor? Who's that intimidating factor for the New South Wales Blues? Happy to discuss that this morning. Fire in your thoughts. Is it Turbo? Is it Teddy? Is it Nicho Hynes off the bench? Is it somebody like Cam Murray? Does this style of play now go towards, especially with some wet weather football around, the importance of the benches on both sides? 0457 736 736. Meanwhile, in clubland, it's getting closer, apparently, the deal between Jason Riles and the St. George Illawarra Dragons. Now, floated originally as a 5-year deal, they're going to wind it back to 4 years. We're talking about a coach here who's going to come in to a club that needs fixing, and it ain't going to take 2 weeks. It's going to take a long time. So in my opinion, if they're going down the Jason Riles road, which they are, then why not give him the time? Give him the support. Give him everything he needs, because they're in that position. So they've marked their man. Now go for him. Time to stop messing around at St. George Illawarra. They made the move on Anthony Griffin. They need to make a hard call on Jason Riles now and back him to the hilt, because he's going to be there for a long time. So 4 years, I think 5 years was a good one to float it out in negotiating terms, but 4 years is probably ideal. Nathan Brown is tipped to be the general manager of football, and Jason Riles will get a bird's eye view of what he's up against and what he needs to fix in the next couple of weeks. The Dragons have the Panthers this week and the Rabbitohs next week, and then they have the bye. That right there will be a snapshot into what Jason Riles will think he needs to do, and he'll be busy beavering away. So we'll wait and to see what that appointment brings when it's made official. Michael Carayannis this morning had this to say on where it's at between the Dragons and Jason Riles.
The West Tigers have flipped that market a little bit when they offered Cameron Serrato a 5-year deal, and obviously ended up at the Bulldogs for 5 years, and Riles shares the same manager as Serrato, so that was what they were angling for, a 5-year contract. But I'm comfortable with 4 years. It's a bit of a job there at the Dragons, and you know, they gave Anthony Griffin 2 years, an initial 2-year deal, and once you do that, you always seem like the innuendo doesn't go away. You know, the coach is always under pressure. There's always talk about his contract. Look, if they don't win, you know, if Cameron Serrato's sitting last this time next year, well, there's still going to be heat under him at the Bulldogs, right? But that security of 4 years, I'm comfortable with it if you've identified him to be the best candidate going forward. I don't think there'll be KPIs, so there was some suggestion, you know, when they were looking at that fourth and fifth year having triggers to enact that the long term, particularly that fifth year, whether that comes back in to play, I don't think so. I think it's going to be a straight up 4-year deal. If he's going to make semis and grand finals and the like, naturally he'll get that extension.
I agree with MC on that one. I think Jason Riles needs the security, but he also needs time. And the Dragons have made it pretty clear that he is target number one. So they're in a position where they're going to have to give him essentially what he wants. And 4 years is going to be a good enough outcome, I think. And then the rest will flow off that, because it's not going to be an easy and short-term turnaround for the St. George Illawarra Dragons. So that deal's getting close. I know we've got a lot of Dragons fans listening to us this morning. So you've been asked the question about Jason Riles. You've been asked the question ad nauseum about Anthony Griffin before that. Are you happy with a four-year deal? Do you think that this is a long-term turnaround? How long are you prepared to wait to see the Dragons get back to where they need to be? And how much of a task do you think it is for Jason Ryles? And who is going to be the most important signing or discussion or person that he has alongside of him? Is it going to be Nathan Brown? Is it going to be the fact that he'll need to buddy up to Ben Hunt pretty quickly and make sure that he is happy because he is well and truly the glue? Who's the most important man, do you think, or person in the organisation that Jason Ryles is going to have to lock in once he's officially announced as St George Illawarra coach coming up soon? 0457 736 736. A lot of footy for us to talk about this morning. As I mentioned, Macca, Andrew McCulloch will join me. Justin Horro will give us his thoughts. Always interesting to get a thought from somebody outside of the Origin arena. He played one game for the New Zealand Maoris and 120 NRL games. Does a lot of great work here on SEN. So Justin Horro with his thoughts. He's close with Cam Munster. He's also close with Daly Cherry Evans, his former teammate. So I think he might be leaning the Queensland way in this. And let's not forget, too, that the New South Wales v Queensland State of Origin Women's Game 1 is on Thursday night. We'll go into New South Wales camp and speak with the women's coach, Kylie Hilder, this morning. So, thankfully, it's a two-match series. Why it's not a three-match series, I don't know. I remember speaking to Kylie this time last year, and we were saying, why is it only a one-match series? We don't know. We haven't got the answer as why they bumped it from one to two. Why on earth wouldn't you just go two to three? Just make it the deal that it needs to be. Now, speaking of deals, what's your thoughts on this, folks? The Sydney Morning Herald is reporting that the Everest is about to become a $20 million horse race. Goes from 15 to 20. So it makes it the second richest race in the world behind the Saudi Cup. It's already the richest turf race in the world. So slot holders have been asked to pump up another 100,000 because, as we know, slot holders are the key to all of this. So their investment is now at 700,000 to get a place in the race. But obviously there's now more prize money, and that prize money will cover last place. Now, your slot fee. So your 700,000, if you finish last, you break even. Racing New South Wales has always maintained that the slot holders have a lifetime option on the slot that they bought when the race was first run back in 2017. But now there's an extra 100 grand, which really, if it's covered, it's a no-brainer. But what's the reason behind it? I remember that Peter Vlandis instantly said that our aim is to make it a $20 million race one day. He said that after the 2022 edition of the Everest. Whatever the prize money increase, he said, it won't be a million, won't be a couple of million. It's going to be a massive increase. So we go to from 15 to 20. It's by far and away the richest race in Australia. And now it's the second richest race in the world. It's going to be a hard ask to become the most or the richest race in the world because the Saudis will just keep on going for their Saudi Cup. So they've got the crowds, they've got the support. The Everest has become a standout smash hit. It has absolutely smothered Victorian racing. And New South Wales racing is now in a position that it's never been in before. It's top of the tree. I mean, it is sitting there calling the shots. So it's quite obviously got it all lined up. The $5 million increase, I guess the biggest question is why? And does it matter to you guys? Does it matter to the punters, to the supporters, to those out there? If the slot's being covered with the extra 100,000 increase, it just seems to be a bit of a we're bigger than you. And they're already bigger anyway. But is it good for the industry? Perhaps. Does it keep more eyeballs or get more eyeballs coming in? Maybe so. A $20 million race. Would you have thought that that was possible in Australia just a few years ago? And here it is in our backyard in New South Wales. So one thing we know about PVL, he does not like resting on his laurels and will not sit around. So where does it end? 20, 25? Keep on going. We'll catch up with Simon Hill this morning for the global game. So the grand final this Saturday night in the A-League between Melbourne City and the Mariners from CommBank. the global game this evening. A lot to talk about, especially off the back of the final day of the English Premier League and NBA this morning in an hour and 10 minutes getting underway. Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. What a series this has been. Celtics v Heat. It is tied at 3-3. So the Boston Celtics are looking to become the first team ever to win a playoff series after losing the first three games straight. Now, home teams have a 76% win record in Game 7s of playoffs. And, of course, this one's being played in the Boston Celtics' backyard. But in the last three postseasons, the away team has actually been operating at around that percentage as well. They've won 5 from 8 in Game 7. The Celtics, well, they've been to the NBA Finals 22 times with a 17-5 win-loss record. Their last win was in 08, and of course they were runners-up last year. The Heat have been there 6 times. They've won 3, lost 3. And the winner out of this, winner takes all to play the Denver Nuggets, making their first NBA Finals appearance. And that's ahead of us later on this week. But Boston Celtics v Miami Heat, 10:30 start. We'll keep you across that this morning in the NBA's Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. So there you go. State of Origin a day away. It's been a weird build-up, no doubt about it. Can you see something coming out of the blue? Wet weather venue, it looks as though it's going to be. Eerily quiet on the Queensland front. And we're focusing on Nathan Cleary's tooth. What do you think's going to be the big story? Who's the X factor now for New South Wales? And then your thoughts too around Jason Riles being appointed as coach in the Everest, going up to $20 million. Too much? Not enough? Where does it end? Let me know this morning. 1300 01 1170, that open line number. Pick it up. Give us a call this morning. Back after this.